Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit ARRCLED.com.
What if there was a way to feel younger for longer? Well, there is. Your body needs something called the NAD plus molecule to help you age well. When you're young, your body makes a lot of NAD plus, and that helps you make energy. It helps you keep your DNA healthy, absorb nutrients well, and it protects your cells from stress. But once you hit about 30, your NAD plus levels start to drop. The good news is that longevity scientists have found some things that can help, like niacin, niacinamide, and niagen. They help your body make more NAD plus even as you age. All three of these are in an amazing formula called Qualia NAD plus. Check out Qualia NAD plus risk-free for up to 100 days at neurohacker.com/Dave15 to save an extra 15%. That's neurohacker.com/Dave15, Qualia NAD plus. It's what I use.
Today's cool fact of the day is about dogs. If you've ever had that sneaking suspicion that your dog is eavesdropping on you, researchers just proved that it's true. They found that dogs develop a preference for people based on a person's cooperativeness towards others. In an actual study, some researchers tested how dogs really, really eavesdrop. They found that if a dog could choose between a cooperative person, someone who always gave food to another human being who was begging for food, then the dog would actually become more attached to the person who gave food to the other person begging. In other words, the dog figures that if you are going to give food to another person, you're probably likely to give food to the dog too. What this means is that dogs are pretty smart, and it means that your dog actually is spying on you.
What if there was a way to level up your energy, get rid of stress, and take more control of your body? Welcome to Quantum Upgrade. This is a new technology that taps into quantum energy to help you feel amazing. Quantum Upgrade has a lot of different products that help protect you from EMF and help activate your body's natural healing abilities. You can expect better sleep, more resilience, less stress, and better blood flow. The cool thing about Quantum Upgrade is that the products are backed by a lot of heavy-duty scientific studies, and there's a new measurable upgrade. You can now use Quantum Upgrade to increase your consciousness levels between 1400 and 2200 on the Hawkins map of consciousness. If you don't know what that means, do some research because it's impressive, it's fun to learn about, and it's something that I've come to understand. Ready to try Quantum Upgrade? Visit quantumupgrade.io/Dave for a 7-day free trial.
I've been biohacking myself quite a lot lately, and I've been working on all kinds of things with light and mitochondrial function and all sorts of crazy stuff. And I'm going to do an episode on that coming up here where I talk more about some of the latest things going on in my crazy biohacking lab here. But today is going to be more fun than that because we've got Andy Nilo on. Andy is a model. He's an actor who's worked with brands like Oakley and Speedo and HBO and Coppertone. And he's just a cool dude. He's also a Bulletproof ambassador who talks a lot about using Bulletproof techniques. You've also seen him in movies, maybe Great American Dream or Adam Carolla's movie The Hammer. You may have seen him in tabloids recently because he used Bulletproof techniques to look cool enough to date a Real Housewives star. I can't add any more BS here, Andy. Welcome to the show, man. Andy Nilo.
It's all good. How you doing? Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm a huge fan. Bulletproof is really kept me locked in and helped me knock down some goals that I shot up there and knew they were attainable, but it's really taken me to another level, and I appreciate it. This is truly an honor to be here.
I appreciate hearing how things work. And, you know, the real reason I asked you on wasn't to, you know, be a Bulletproof ambassador and say how good the Bulletproof stuff is, but because you got in a pretty nasty accident. You were in a hit and run, like two cars ran over you or something. What's the deal there? You broke your jaw, you broke seven ribs, collapsed a lung, and you used like Bulletproof stuff while you were recovering. Tell me about that, man. Like, that's big news.
Well, yeah, it was, first off, I'm very lucky to be alive. I mean, I was crossing a busy street on a Saturday night, Melrose, and I was hit by a westbound heading Toyota Tundra, hit into the eastbound lane and run over by a Land Rover. Oh. Lost consciousness, had a compound fracture of my jaw, broke it in probably five different places. So like the middle of my chin over, I had two titanium plates inserted, which are now gone, thank God.
I still see the Tundra logo right there, like kind of in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty gnarly, and thank God I don't remember too much of it. Yeah. But I was really banged up, you know, from head to toe. Thank God I didn't have any ligament or damage in my ankles or knees, so I was able to kind of speed up the recovery process through like getting circulation going with exercise, walking, and, you know, eventually getting to being able to run. But that was far down the road. I mean, I was really banged up. I had to have my sisters come and just lift me up. You know, as an ex-athlete, not being able to just even use your abdominal muscles to lift you up and get you out of bed to take your medicine, it's extremely humbling. And it was, something I wouldn't wish on anybody. But I'm here and I'm alive. And that was kind of my family's mantra throughout the whole thing was, you know, regardless of what we had to overcome with the broken ribs and the collapsed lung and the fact that my jaw was like out to here like quagmire, I was alive and there was nothing really to complain about.
You still kind of have the quagmire jaw. I mean, you've got like the squarest jaw of anyone who's ever been on my show. Like, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, you got to see this guy's like if you were to like draw a cartoon of a model, like in a nice way, like you would look like you're like the perfect proportioned dude.
Well, yeah, thank my surgeon for that one to put back together. But it was just really, you know, thinking back, I mean, there were just steps, you know, every day. My jaw was wired shut for 9 weeks. And so it was an internal surgery. So you can't suck on a straw.
Oh, no.
So like pull out the stitches or it'll put pressure on that area. So I just had to wear it. I would make, you know, these hardcore smoothies like bison liver, deer placenta, colostrum, egg yolks, super nutrient dense, right? I wasn't supposed to. They weren't recommending raw material like that because if it gets in there and there's like some type of infection, then we got big problems, especially, you know, in the mouth area like that. I was not supposed to do that if they found out. But it was really risky, but I just knew how nutrient dense it was and how I just believed in the process of how that was, you know, going to heal me from the inside out. And so I just stuck with it and it really got me up to speed. But I would just
all right. You said deer placenta.
Yeah.
Like, do they have that at Whole Foods?
No, definitely not.
Where do you get deer placenta? Like, I've never tried a deer placenta smoothie.
Yeah, I never opened. They were little capsules.
Okay.
They were capsules of deer placenta. And I mean, I did a lot of research on this stuff and helped through a few Chinese herbalists. They talked it up and made it seem incredible. And I didn't care what I or put in the system. I just wanted to get back where I was before and had this like outside goal of being better in better shape than I was before. Cause I was just irritated that I put myself in that position in the first place. And I wanted to get back and in better shape. And, you know, we all make mistakes, but I'm really glad that I just took nutrition extremely seriously and took the advice of these guys, because I mean, just my frame started to get back really quickly. I was lucky that I was hit in the accident. I was in pretty good shape when I was hit. So, you know, your body gets, you know, responds and only knows that, I believe. So the process of recovery was sped up with that and then nutrition. Deer placenta it sounds funny, but I hope it did some good. It's pretty expensive.
There's a lot of nutrients in placenta. I mean, you know, my first book was the Better Baby book about everything you can do for fertility. And there's a reason most animals eat their placenta after it comes out, because it's so nutrient dense. So I don't have any issues with doing that. And were you actually putting raw liver in your smoothie, though? Like just grinding it up?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. All right.
I did that this morning. See, not a smoothie. I just powered it down.
You win the man award there. I cannot do a raw liver smoothie. I've tried it. Maybe I use the magic bullet, not my Blendtec or Vitamix. But there was still like liver fibers in it. And I'm drinking it. And they're kind of hanging out of my mouth. And it was one of the worst experiences of my life. And I'll eat chunks of raw liver. I'll take them like pills. But the smoothie, dude, like hats off for like putting hair on your chest, man. Like
that. Yeah, those little things, you spit them out.
Oh man! All right. There's not a lot of things I won't drink, but I think I'm to the point where I take desiccated powder capsules for my liver. But
I will say this: so if you're gonna also, if my buddy's got it up to a science, if Dijon mustard is incredible with liver and a little curry, a little Dijon mustard, and then the raw liver, dice it up. I mean, it tastes great. I mean, liver is so bad, right?
Right.
But for some reason, curry in Whole Foods organic Dijon mustard, incredible.
Okay,
that's saying a lot to call liver incredible. You know, as you know, so yeah, that's like my new little thing.
I love it. I give my kids liver every day.
That's awesome.
Just a little capsule of the stuff. But when I buy a lamb, like they come with those little livers, and I'm like, I know I should eat it, so I usually freeze it in little like half inch squares, and I'll just like put one in the back of my throat and chug it. But all right, I'm doing the mustard curry thing. We'll see if that works.
Yeah, try it out, because it dissolves. You know, the texture of liver. It maybe this is like super, super good quality meat, but yeah, I mean, as soon as you get it in there, it dissolves, and it's a lot better than I used to do hot sauce.
Yeah.
But that was gnarly. I mean, you just got to, I did it raw a couple times just with nothing. And it wakes you up, man. I mean, it wakes you up, gets you on fire. I don't know if it's more of a mental placebo thing or what, but I'm good to go after liver like nothing else. Bee pollen, I would put that in the coffee. I do that, and I'm just good, on fire all day.
So you've never made a liver bulletproof coffee, have you?
I have not.
That would be sacrilegious, but it might escort nutrients in better. But I got a tweet the other day from a guy who used canna butter, basically butter made with cannabis, in his bulletproof coffee. Okay.
Yeah.
You ever try that?
I have not.
Me either.
I have not tried that.
I think I'm afraid to try that, actually.
Like it would just even things out, like completely counterproductive to the coffee, right?
It might be, but it also might just drive all that stuff into your brain all at once. I have no idea what I would do. So I was kind of surprised. I laughed when I saw the tweet, but I'm like, I don't think I'm up for trying that because it might take me a week to come back to Earth. All right. So one of the things that I'm interested in is engineering resilience, and rapid recovery is part of that. So you are already kind of in kick-ass shape. You get completely whacked by two SUVs, not just one, and not even like a Prius had the courtesy to hit you. Like these were real cars, and you're already like in ripped shape and all that sort of stuff. How long did it take you to come back to normal after something like that?
You know what? I was able to sprint up Runyon Canyon and do my little thing that I do with my jaw wired shut, gnarly, like scars everywhere. I was on the runway, I want to say March 5th or May 5th or 6th for a runway show that I booked that I didn't tell my San Francisco agent about my accident, because that was my goal to get back on that, just a little time thing. I'm not going to miss this runway show. That was my goal. And I want to say it was either the first week of May or June. June sounds more.
Okay. And you were hit when? In what month?
It had to be June. Okay. So I was hit in March. So March 20th.
So March, April, May. So you basically had 3 months to recover from like massive trauma.
Yeah.
Wow. And then on the runway.
Yeah. And I was the only guy doing a shirtless thing too. And I had a big time gash on my hip from point of impact, one of the cars that hit me. So anyway, so I'm just trying to gauge it in my head right now. So if I was able to do that the first week of June, it's got to be June. I was probably about a month into sprinting, about a month and a month, month and a half, I was able to sprint and then lift, but I wasn't where by any means, where I wanted to be, but I was in good shape, and I swear it's because of all the stuff that I was on, you know, just getting those toxins out of the system, purifying my blood, building that blood and circulating that blood. It just, you know, I was back, I want to say about a month sprinting. So that's, you know.
And so you're about 30, right?
I'm 32.
32. Okay. So yeah. You're not using that, you know, early 20s, massive recovery, you know, body's still young kind of thing. So, man, that's incredible resilience and incredible recovery there. You used some Chinese herbs. You used super, super high nutrient density foods. What about, like, supplements and stuff like that?
I'm big on amino acids. So I did a combination of citrulline, arginine, and glutamine.
Yep.
And just, I mean, I would do probably 10 grams of arginine and glutamine a day.
5 grams each, okay.
Yeah, each. 5 in the morning, 5 before I go to bed. And then citrulline to kind of help with the absorption of the arginine. I heard that was a good just helps that helps the activity of the amino acids. So I only did those three. I didn't do like a branch chain amino. Yeah. I figured I'd get a lot with the red meats or meat that I was taking in with my smoothie. And then also the yolks and stuff really helped.
Use a lot of raw egg yolks in your smoothies, like the get some ice cream kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then I also did a lot of colostrum.
Yep.
A lot of colostrum. I was told that was loaded with growth factors. So I was actually putting it on topically on my scar and scars on my hip too, as well. Got a big time road rash thing on my back that a buddy of mine gave me a jar of Manuka honey and colostrum. And so I kind of just started mixing them up and going, all right, well, these things are so incredibly nutrient dense. I'm just going to I had nothing else to do, Dave. Like I was out of work. Like I had a little money saved up or whatever. So I was just like, you know, I didn't really want to be, you know, out in public or anything outside of exercise. I just, you know, I had my jaw wired shut. You know, people ask you questions. My teeth were nubs,
They
were nubs. Like, and people ask you questions, you know, you look fine with your mouth closed and then you start talking and then like your mouth's all crunched up and your teeth are nubs. It was gnarly. I didn't even want to go to the grocery store, but you know, you tell yourself I'm alive, who cares what they think. And you know, anyway, so I had that little battle going for me, but anyway, yeah. So I don't know how I got off topic there, but yeah, the honey and the colostrum really helped topically and internally with, you know, just getting the healing process going and kind of cleansing the system of all like, you know, the meds that I was on, and I wanted to, you know, purify my blood as well as I could. And nutrition, you know, definitely helped with that.
What percentage of your calories came from fat when you were recovering?
Oh, a lot.
I know it's a guess, but yeah.
Oh man. All I know is this is I didn't do avocado because I should have thrown avocado in my smoothies. I don't know why I didn't do it. What I did do was cream. I did, I did the raw cream, I forget the name, Green Pastures or something. I would down one of those little pints a day.
So that's a lot of fat.
Nice. That's a lot of fat. I want to say that's 16 times, 192 grams of fat, or at least, I don't know, 16 times 12, 192, I don't know. But yeah, that's
sounds about right.
Yeah, that's that. I was taking out one of those. And then on top of that, I was, you know, I think I would do maybe some almond butter. Because that was smooth. I didn't have to chew that.
Egg yolks probably, it sounds like.
Egg yolks as well. I mean, it had to be 70, 80% of my calories that I was taking in from – that's just a guess, but I mean, I was doing a lot of fats.
There's a lot of studies that say, you know, when you're stressed – and let me tell you, when you're whacked by a couple of cars and recovering, you're stressed – that your body burns fat more than it burns – carbs. In fact, burning fat is a sign of stress. It's an adaptive stress thing. So when you're under stress and you eat more fat, you burn that fat more readily even. Like there's a demand for it. And that explains part of your recovery. And then you took the L-glutamine, which is in my own, like if I'm injured, I always crank up the glutamine because it speeds wound healing. It just does that.
Yeah.
And then you did all the micronutrients. So you had all the zinc and copper. And wow, man, I'm pretty blown away because you had like massive trauma and, you know, within less than 3 months, actually, you were on a runway, which is profound.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. No, it was pretty fun. I haven't thought about it too much, but yeah, I remember getting the wires taken out, which was the second most painful process. The jaw wires taken out. And literally I think that was Tuesday or Wednesday. Thursday, I go in and get my teeth fixed. And then Saturday was the runway show up in San Jose. I remember that. It was for like some Santana Row fashion show, but some summer fashion show for Santana Row. But that was a goal of mine. You know San Jose, obviously.
Oh, yeah. No, I've had lunch there lots of times in Santana Row. Yeah.
So that was the goal, and I did it. I saw my mom. My mom came. That was a really cool moment. Not that, like, you know, it was just, you know, just reaching the goal and knocking it down. But, yeah, I did all that fat, and Dave, I still lost 18 pounds. So, I mean, I was taking in an astronomical amount of, you know, fat calories, and I come to think of it, yeah, I looked like I lost a ton of weight, and I know for a fact I lost 18 pounds. So gaining the weight back was awesome, I'll tell you that.
Did you lose a lot of muscle? You must have. I mean, any kind of okay, so you were relying on your muscle mass to stay, basically to stay alive at the first initial time you were hit. You had some, not a lot of fat, I'm guessing, and some muscle. Yeah. So if you hadn't had the muscle mass, you could have died, basically, because you would have run out of that metabolic reserve that's there. Mm. Wow.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it's... Wow.
So now, what do you use? Like, what's a daily regimen look like for you? I mean, you're a guy. You were going to be a pro athlete until you decided that you wanted to be in soap operas even more. I want to hear more about that in a minute. But like, what do you do? Like, I see pictures of your shirt off, and like, all right, you know, granted, I'm 10 years older than you, but you know, I'm happy with how I look given I was a 300 pounder. But dude, you're like rocking the abs that like make girls jealous. So, all right, what's your secret, man? Like, what do you eat? What do you do?
I appreciate that. No, I actually have a routine that I love. Every morning, all right, I wake up, I throw a song on by Cascade called I Remember. It just kind of gets me going. I bang out 80 push-ups. It used to be 60. Now, you know, just now I'm at 80. And then hopefully I'll get up to whatever. I don't know. But I do that, and that gets the blood flowing more than any, you know, jumping jacks or anything that I can do. I go into my kitchen and do my morning tonic, which is composed of turmeric, cayenne, zinc, silica, hoshu wu, arginine, glutamine, pearl powder. It's supposed to be really good for your liver. Yeah. Aloe vera. Mm-hmm. What else? And then sea salt, Himalayan sea salt or Himalayan salt. I blend that all together. It's terrible. It is terrible. I wouldn't recommend anybody trying that unless you're one of those people that doesn't care what things taste like. You're more about like the results and what it's doing internally. That's what I'm all about. So I do that and I blend it together, and then I have an inversion table. When I was hit in my accident, my spine was all, you know, I don't know if it was out of alignment, but I was definitely bunched up.
Right.
You know, understandably so. So I got one of those inversion tables. If nobody out there knows what an inversion table is, you basically hang upside down by your feet. And from my understanding, it helps lengthen out the spine, or at least
you get more space. Like it takes all the pressure off the discs, so the discs can sort of fill in.
Okay.
And it moves a lot of blood to your head, which increases the microcapillaries in your head. So it makes you smarter, allegedly, anyway.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Well, didn't know that, but I mean,
you drink your tonic and then you hang upside down for how long?
25 minutes. Sade. I throw on Sade. It's like a little.
Are you kidding? Routine. You're upside down for 25 minutes a day?
25 minutes. Yeah. That, and if I have to be at Oakley at, I don't know, 6 a.m. at Foothill Ranch, which is hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes away with traffic, I don't care what time I get up. I just get up that much earlier. I mean, that's how I have to start my day.
Wow. That is incredibly badass. Most people don't have the discipline to stay upside down that long, but that really does change your brain in a way that's been proven. That and sitting at the bottom of a pool with a lot of pressure on your head, both of those cause adaptive changes in cerebral circulation. Oh, so nice. Yeah, you're getting smarter, man. All right. I love this morning routine already. I'm not sure I'm going to do it. Dude, don't your knees hurt like after that long, like getting pulled?
I had plantar fasciitis. I may be butchering that pronunciation or whatever. That really hurt getting up. And sometimes it hurts my back getting up. Sometimes it doesn't. It's never hurt my knees. You know, you're a little wobbly at first. You just got to, you know, carefully, you know, as you get up, carefully stand up, and you're going to feel, you know, the blood start to circulate back throughout your body, and just take it slow throughout the kitchen. I've never actually kind of got lightheaded and passed out, but I've, you know, you just got to take it slow, but it's awesome.
That's so cool. All right. What comes next?
Let's see here. Obviously, the bulletproof coffee. I'm just trying to think if I'm I'm doing something before that. No. It's mix up the Bulletproof coffee. I do a French press.
Okay,
and
cool.
I do two. Let's see, the mugs. I do two of these right here. So those are those 12 or 16?
I think they're 14, if memory 14? Serves. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I do two and a little bit more.
How much butter do you put in there?
Oh man, I put about 3 tablespoons
per,
total
per mug, or 1.5 per mug.
Tablespoon and a half per mug.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, 3. So I don't, you know, if I don't really have anything that day where I have to like look super lean for, then I'll do 3 to 4. You know.
Okay. Nice.
Helps, it just helps me sustain.
Yeah.
I'm a big intermittent fast guy.
Okay.
And that's just, I don't eat breakfast. This is it. You know, those good fats combined with the brain octane oil. And
how much of that do you use?
I do a capful.
Okay, cool.
So on top of that, what's that, about a tablespoon?
I think it's a little bit bigger than a tablespoon. I've never measured the inside of the cap. I want to say it's closer to 2 because it's a pretty big cap. I'll have to measure that just because I never thought about that. But at that level,
right. I think it's closer to 2, yeah.
You don't get any disaster pants or any kind of stuff like that. I do more than 2. It doesn't bother me at all. But I find that brain octane doesn't cause any GI problems compared to the upgraded MCT. I mean, they both work, but one of them is like more focusing than the other.
Okay. Yeah. I do the octane oil.
Okay.
I have a big blender. I do the octane oil. I do cinnamon. I throw in a little cayenne there to get it.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A,
that tastes good.
Hot chocolate. And it also kind of activates the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it does, but yeah, I love it. So I throw that and then a little vanilla bean, upgraded vanilla bean powder. I'm a big chocolate powder guy.
Cool.
The proof chocolate powder. That's one thing that I cannot go without. Every morning I do, and I got a buddy who gives me a hard time about it, you know, your adrenals or whatever. But I think chocolate is an absolutely a superfood, clearly.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's just something that I can tell when I'm not on it, when I don't have it, when I'm out of it, I'm craving it. And so I'll throw 2 teaspoons, which may sound like a lot, of the raw chocolate powder. I'll throw that in there. And then every other day or every 3 days or whatever, I'll throw in the cacao butter.
Oh, nice.
Kind of let it melt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll blend it. About 1/4 teaspoon of stevia.
Okay, so you like a bit of a sweet edge to it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I find that stevia goes well if you're going to put the chocolate in there. Because it's raw, it's probably the least bit of raw chocolate I've ever found. And even with that, though, I find just a hint of sweet just smooths out the vanilla and the chocolate. So you're getting like an amazing mocha flavor there. All right.
I go home and my mom and my dad, you know, and they don't have, bless their hearts, they don't have like stevia and stuff. So, and they, you know, I don't pack all that stuff. Going through the airports, as you may know, it's kind of, you know, I've been caught up, you know, hey, what's this? What you got here? I have so many different powders.
Oh, yeah.
So many different things going on. But so I travel light. You know, I make sure that I have the coffee beans and, you know, they have coconut oil up in Palo Alto, which is where I'm from, and at my parents' house. And then I just do the butter. And so I'll throw in a little honey there, but it's just not the same. I mean, I really crave that every morning. You know, I have these mountains.
Yeah.
And I just sit out there and I have my little bulletproof mocha, like you said. I mean, it is the best way. And that combined, you know, I got the blood rushing, I got the tonic flowing, I'm already on fire because of push-ups I just banged out, and the bulletproof mocha on top of that. It's like there's nothing, no better feeling, you know? So I do that every single morning, you know? I mean, it must with traveling's tough. Like if I'm staying at a hotel, oh my gosh. Well, you travel a ton yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You can totally understand. But I got to start traveling with my French press because I'm, you know, those little plastic cups that they have in the hotel rooms and stuff.
They're terrible.
I'm using my hand, like measuring it out, down in coffee grinds and stuff. It's, you know, spitting out coffee grinds. But it's something that I cannot go without. And I'm not going to go anywhere else and get a coffee from 7-Eleven or downstairs. It's just, if people don't understand it, I mean, the purity of these beans, man, it's just, it makes my day.
Thanks for saying that. And like, I didn't ask you to say any of that. We didn't prearrange any of this. And I do the same thing. I travel. I bring one of those little like camping 3-ounce bottles you can buy at REI. I bring 1 or 2 of those full of brain octane. So I get at least a tablespoon. And I bring my beans. I bring them, you know, pre-ground, which isn't ideal. Or quite often, I just bring the little the K-Cup packets or the Keurig compatible packets that we make. Yeah. And you just tear one open, dump it in with some hot water. But like you said, there's a mess and all. But it doesn't matter if I get a couple of grounds caught in my teeth, because especially if I'm like traveling to Asia or something.
Yeah.
Okay, jet lag's real, and I'll do my earthing kind of thing, and I'll do light hacks and body temperature hacks. But like, this has become like, if I don't have that for breakfast, I don't think my brain is going to do all the things I want it to do. So yeah, people look at me weird, and I'm in restaurants putting it inside a teapot. I just stopped caring, because I want to feel good. So you hit the same conclusion. All right.
Oh, 100%. I'm right there with you. I got to start looking at those K-cups though. But that, because that sounds like a little, I can't believe I haven't gotten any cleaning secure deposits taken there or anything like that. I'm telling you, Dave, you should see how many different, because you know you're measuring them off, you're filtering with your hand.
Oh yeah,
that's just what I have to do. I mean, it's the best way to start my day, and it's just, you know, I'll do whatever it takes to get that.
I leave a slightly bigger tip, because I'm just like, sorry guys, I didn't mean to get coffee grounds all over the bathroom, but like the coffee setup you had here was inadequate for making me feel good. And like, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. It's hilarious to hear you doing that, because I feel a little bit odd, like just a little bit ludicrous, but at the same time, like it's what makes me go. So I'm just gonna stick with that. What do your Hollywood buddies say? Like you're a Hollywood guy. You know, you're in movies and all this stuff, and you're on the set. Do you do the stuff when you're like?
Absolutely.
You do it on the set. Okay.
Always, and it is always a conversation starter, and people. I'm like a big sardine guy. And
oh yeah, they're so good for
clear,
you.
Oh, they're incredible. Clean waters. You know, I do Portugal mainly.
Yeah.
You know, sardines from Portugal, but I mean, I'll do a few avocados. I'll bring them in my backpack and a couple cans of sardines. You want to, I mean, you crack open a couple cans of sardines and just the looks you get. I mean, it doesn't smell that great by any means, but you know, people, I mean, the results are there. I mean, the way I feel after eating that, you know, I mashed it up, put a little hot sauce on it. I got a complete routine that I do. One thing on set, that's like, say if I'm, you know, shooting something or backstage on a runway thing, there's like, now I have it down to a science where I'll go to the bathroom and just crack it in the bathroom and down, because if sardines will stink up a room, they really will.
Yeah.
Last thing you want to do is piss off a client and, you know, being like the weird guy who eats sardines. So sometimes I'll have to go to the bathroom, down them, and then throw them away, and then that's that. But I will do whatever it takes to get like the pristine nutrition in my body. And because on set, you know, they don't really – I don't blame them. Not a lot of people are as aware of what they put in their body. They kind of, I mean, it's just cookies, candy, definitely not grass-fed meats or organic at all. I mean, and I just can't do any of that. And, you know, that's why I'm on set in the first place, is maintaining that nutrition. So it's all, like I said, it's always a conversation starter. But I will say this though, by the end of the day, every single time, every single thing that I've been on, the conversation, maybe it may start off by a little raised eyebrows and like, what the hell is this guy eating? But they're always asking me to write something up for them.
Yeah.
And I've got countless texts. Dude, these sardines are amazing, because they may smell bad.
Yeah.
But they are great. Hey, I'm hooked on them. I just had two before this interview with an avocado. Same thing. It's the easiest way to travel.
It's like a bulletproof Snickers bar, right? You know, you're like, it's all fat and the right kinds of fat if they're done right, and protein, and it's got the bones in them, which is also good for you. So you get the minerals, right? So they aren't the tastiest. Like you said, hot sauce will fix that problem, assuming you're not sensitive to the nightshade vegetables in there. And it's like, do it. Put some salt on them too, and I'll actually put butter in there too, which is kind of fun.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I'll try that out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it depends if you mash it up.
You mash it up? You ever done the avocado mash?
Yeah, either avocado or butter works. In a pinch too, like when I don't want to do, I'm a fan of smoked salmon too, like the cold smoked salmon. That's pretty compatible. If you don't want to do either one of those because they smell bad, like sometimes on airplanes I feel guilty. I'll bring like smoked salmon. I'm like, I'll wait till they're serving like stinky airplane food and then I eat it. And fine. I had to smell their like fake chicken, whatever. So it's a fair exchange. But other times I'll just like eat like a stick of butter, like not the whole thing, but I'll just unwrap it. And you want to get some looks like that, people just look at you like, are you really?
I did
that in front of one of the SVPs from Twitter. I was at South by Southwest. I'm like, I've been here all day. There's like all this candy and junk food and like fried whatever creature. I'm like, nah. And so I'm just eating the butter at a bar. And, you know, it was just because I was starving, right? I'm like, I really would like to feel good all day or all week for this really intense conference. And same thing, though. I think you get those same looks when you're doing your sardines that you get from eating butter.
Awesome. Done. Well, I'm going to start doing butter as well. I mean, airplanes are – yeah, it's tough. Airports, yeah. I mean, yeah, I go to the furthest gate with nobody in there, and I'll crack open the sardines, mow them down, throw them away. But I'm great. I'm good after that. But, yeah, you know.
All right. So – let's talk Hollywood actresses. So I mean, you're hanging out with, you know, some of the it crowd, and I mean, these women are oftentimes so obsessed with, you know, body image and losing weight and all this stuff. When they hear and see what you're doing, do they just like think you're a crackhead, or are they like, maybe I should have sardines too? Like what is the male versus female breakdown of when you just do this kind of stuff?
It depends if they're into the whole health movement. There are a lot of health conscious actresses out here. Yeah. And if they just get it, like if you get it and explain to them, look, like we said, there's calcium, phosphorus, protein, incredible fats. It's like a one-stop shop dream team of a snack. You just got to get over the fact that it's a sardine. It tastes great. Trust me. And then they're like, they take a bite. Oh, it's not that bad. I mean, especially you get the ones with like sea salt, olive oil. Like that's just one of the things. Like if they can just get past the fact, some people won't. These are the health conscious people that get it and that are just open and you know, kind of open minded to trying something else. But it's so many people are just sardines. You know, it's like synonymous with tasting and smelling nasty. But if they only knew, like there are some great tasting sardines out there. So I will say, believe it or not, yeah, I mean, the ones that I've met are open to trying it because I surround myself with people that are pretty into health and nutrition. Actually, that's not true. Not 100% of the time. There are some people that just, you know, they don't, for whatever reason, they don't really care what they eat, and teach their own. That's fine. It's just, yeah, I guess you do stand out a little bit when you're cracking sardines and stuff. But it's discipline though. How can you not respect discipline and if you can explain it too, and you can kind of be your own best advertisement as to why this works and you feel this way, people, I mean, they'll go, oh, I guess that makes sense. And then, you know, I can explain why I'm eating that and why I, you know, do each thing. And it, to me, it makes sense. I, like I said, I keep in contact with a lot of these people, and they say, hey, thanks, man. Like, dude, I'm cracking sardines. They'll take little camera pictures and send them to me.
That's awesome.
It's great. No, and that's happened a lot, Dave, like a lot.
You're helping people that way. I do it with my kids too. People like, your kids will eat sardines? I'm like, yeah, they actually ask for them because it's like portable food, right? You have to get it in the body.
Yeah.
All right. So have you ever been accused of being orthorexic?
I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming like, what does it mean? I'm assuming
that's good. It means you haven't been accused of it. It's the idea that there is an eating disorder where you have to eat according to like a certain set of rules, and like, oh, I'm terrified to touch anything that's white, or I'm terrified to eat anything that's meat or whatever. So there's some psychologists who say that, you know, clean eating is a form of eating disorder. And I'm like, feeling great all the time is actually the goal. And I'll eat gravel if it's what works. I just want what works, and I measure it. So it's kind of funny that's something that paleo people are accused of. Vegans are accused of. Bulletproof diet people are. Yeah. Wow. So you haven't, I don't even know if that's a word in Hollywood, but I see it around in the blogosphere sometimes. And it kind of makes me laugh because you sound a bit nuts, man. And so do I. But it's nuts that produces results. Cause, I mean, look at you, right?
Thanks, man. It's just, yeah. I mean, I'll do whatever it takes for my body. You know, like internally. I'm not talking like the physical model stuff. Yeah. I'm saying like I want to whatever it takes to perform, you know, at my best. And you know, if it's liver, if it's, you know, like the deer placenta that we talked about, it's the stuff works, and it's amazing. If you're dragging a little bit at the end of the day, and you know, you have one of those nutrient dense meals, you know, whatever we're talking about, how we eat, it'll just pick you right back up and boom, you can do whatever you want. You don't need to take a nap. I mean, not that napping's bad, but it's amazing how mineral rich, nutrient dense foods will just pick you right up and get you going. It's something I'm extremely passionate about. And,
well, so you're a great example because, you know, you make a living, like your skin has to look good, your muscles have to look good, your brain has to work so you can like say what you're supposed to say when you're supposed to say it.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with a lot of parameters and you're pretty well known, I think, for having really good skin. Like you look, for people who are not driving right now, like you look like a stupidly healthy guy. like when I see you, I'm like you're radiating health.
Thank you. And, I appreciate that.
It's true, and I'm not, you know, not just saying it. Like you look like a happy guy who's just like just full of what my grandfather would say, vim and vigor. Like you're just it's hard to believe that you've been through this, you know, massive accident not that long ago. So what are you doing on your skin, man? Because you know, I think a lot of women would like to have skin as cool as yours. So like you're doing something topically, I'm guessing, and what you're eating has to be fueling your skin. I know that, but.
Absolutely. First off, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I wasn't always that way. About coming on 3 years ago after the accident, I mean, I had like railroad tracks from a kind of a chop job that the emergency room did. So, I mean, it's okay. They had to just put me back together. Yeah. I get it. I understand. My surgeon who put my jaw back together was kind of, he looked at it and had kind of like looked away like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I looked at it and it looked so bad. I was like, it's all right. I'm probably never going to look the same. It's okay. Whatever. I'm alive. So you have like that perspective set in there and that's okay. You get past that. It does bother you a little bit.
Dude, your jaw looks really square and normal. I don't, at least from where I'm sitting on video, I would never guess you'd had any kind of trauma above your shoulders. Like it just doesn't show.
Thank you. My surgeon was awesome. I mean, he's one of the best, and he just I think about him all the time. His name's Joseph Brugeri in Beverly Hills. He's, you know, when matter of fact, me and him are super close, or we're super close. I kind of lost touch a little bit. I need to get back in touch with him. But you know, somebody who sees you so vulnerable, you know, I mean, our little, you know, bi-monthly checkups and stuff like that, you know, it's just. Yeah, you know, your jaw's out to here with all the swelling, and then he's like, dude, trust me, just, you know, with the anti-inflammatory foods that I'm taking, like that swelling started to go down. And so anyway, yeah, like you said, the foods that I was, that I was eating and the supplements, you know, the collagen, the vitamin C, all that fed my skin internally. But what I did like three times a week is this, I developed this mask. So like I said, my buddy gave me a jar of colostrum, and I had been using this Aztec Healing calcium bentonite clay.
Oh,
stuff.
Love bentonite. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Since I was like 23 years old. Clays are super healing, removing impurities. You know, it's all it is just minerals. And a lot of it is silica, which is a huge building block in collagen, right?
It is. And let me break in there for a second. Just for people who think that clay is, you know, a bunch of hocus pocus, whatever. It's got the things you just said in it. It also has an electrical charge that attracts toxins to it, pulls them literally out of the skin. Like, and that is well understood. It's used in like the military uses bentonite in some of their detox protocols for poisoned people. Like it's legitimate science. Yeah. So if anyone reading this has not heard about clay and thinks it's just for like women's whatever, no, it's legit. You can even eat the stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do diatomaceous earth. I do a tablespoon and a half every night before I go to bed. Grounds me.
Wow, that much?
Yeah.
Wow, so you're full of calcium, all right.
Yes, and that's apparently it's like 70% silica too, so I'm getting a lot of that. And it goes into water. Apparently under like a microscope, it looks like really like crystals, and it's super pure. Like as soon as, you know, mixing it in water.
It's shells. It's super microscopic seashells, yeah. And if people are going to take it, they want to take food-grade diatomaceous earth. And the thing about it that rocks is if you have parasites, they can't live with those like tiny shards of glass, but they're so small they don't hurt your cells, but they're small enough to mess with other microbial things. Okay. So I used it not regularly, but I've used it for years. And I mean, you can take the stuff you eat and you sprinkle it outside your house, ants won't walk across it. Like it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I have 50 pounds of that.
Okay, me too. You're such a dork, yeah. Man.
I know, me too. Oh, we're geeking out right now.
Look. Seriously, I've never had a guest with 50 pounds of DE in their basement, but all right.
It's not only that, man. I got Rasul. Yeah, so I slowly just went from bentonite, and I would add the colostrum. But so speed back. So I would do the Aztec healing clay for years. And then I realized, why am I spending $15 for 8 ounces or whatever at Whole Foods when I can just buy it in bulk from a reputable website for like $15 to get me like 50 pounds or whatever, maybe less, or 20 pounds. But so what I did is I tried a few different websites and finally found one that was just as powerful as Aztec healing clay. But what I found is on the website, these guys had like 4 or 5 different clays. Kaolin, Rasul, pyrophyllite, red desert clay. I was like, and it's so cheap, I just bought all of them. And I was like, they all had the different little properties to it. Rasul is extremely, it increases circulation like bentonite does not. I just kind of created like this dream team of ingredients over time. It took me 2 years. I would buy food grade vitamin C, Japanese freshwater pearl powder, colostrum, American ginseng. I would, you know, experiment with the dosages. Some things worked, some things didn't work.
Wow.
And I just applied it 2-3 times a week to my skin, on myself. And I would have people come up to me, hey, just curious what random people, you know, checking me out at, or not checking me out, checkers at Trader Joe's. I didn't mean checking me out.
You get checked out at Trader Joe's, man, admit it.
No. I meant checkers, Trader Joe's. It became like not a daily, well, almost daily conversation. I'm like, if these guys only knew, I was banged up in an accident. Like you wouldn't believe this scar right here. You can't see it. I kind of actually like it.
But I really don't see it. Wow.
It used to be 2 inches long. And thankfully I have a couple, you saw the before pictures of me banged up in the ICU in Cedars-Sinai. But, I didn't put it on my side because, you know, just putting, you know, you're putting it on your, you're putting the mask on your face or whatever, but I didn't really want to put it on my side scars. But yeah, over time, I finally got so confident with it that I approached my friends and they, you know, girls, guys, ex-teammates. I mean, if I can get it on my athlete buddies, I can, you know, I feel like I can get it on anybody. And it's just, it's really, it's developed amazingly. I have it in med spas now. I'm packaging it, selling it, and it's great. It's something I just really am stoked about and I believe in. I did it this morning. I do it a few times a week. You know, clays have that drawing capability to it of removing toxins. So not only are you removing toxins from your body, but you're also beautifying your skin through like exfoliation and regenerating the growth of new skin cells with the collagen and the vitamin C and the kelp powder. Just nutrient dense. It's like I want to feed my skin. What you know, it's your largest organ, so
why not? You're pretty humble about that. Like, you've never actually told me that this was commercially available. I didn't even know you had a line like that. So tell me the URL. We'll put a link in the show notes and all that stuff, but like, where can people get, I mean, is there a website or something? Or
it's the company name is Alitura, and the website is under construction right now.
All right.
I have a Twitter account, Andy Nilo, AndyHnilo. I'm working on getting an Alitura Twitter account as well. I've been extremely busy this year with work. It's all me right now, and it's only me. I have, you know, 300 pounds of the different ingredients in my apartment, and I'm doing it all out of the back of my apartment, hand mixing it. And,
oh, wow.
It's an amazing product. I'll just say this is I at the med spots that I have it, have my product in, you know, I have the availability to use any of the treatments that they use. And there's nothing else I would do considering downtime and just flat out how effective it is. There's nothing else that I will do ever. I mean, that's just it.
All right, man. You gotta hook me up with that stuff. I'm happy to try it.
Yeah, I'm happy to. You know, you just blend it with a little apple cider vinegar, maybe a little clary sage oil, sea buckthorn oil. I mean, it's something I really believe in and I'm super passionate about. Just it's gonna be good. Thanks for asking.
That's awesome, and I had no idea we were gonna talk about that. But I love it that you're doing that, and whatever you're doing, man, it's working. All right. Last question, is we're running up on the end of the show. Not exactly the last question, but nearing the last question. How much do you work out? What kind of workout do you do? Are you doing? I don't even know if you're doing like whole body vibration, which I'm interested in, but like what are the weird things you do and what are the normal things you do? How often? Stuff like that.
You know, I don't, you may find this funny. I'm a big music guy. So a lot of the reason that I go to the gym is I'm so fired up from like my morning routine that pumping some music and just getting it going, getting that adrenaline going around the gym, banging out pushups. I don't really have a set workout, you know, I don't really have, you know, I mean, it's just, I'll do the main things, like maybe some military press, you know, I'll split it up a couple times a week, do chest and try back by, you know, I'll go for a run because I love to run. I love music when I'm running. I love that adrenaline that I get. I love the way I feel. But as far as like, you know, I'm in and out in the gym, 20, 30 minutes. I love the sauna, but I love the feeling of just moving around and the adrenaline that I get from the music and the pump, but that I'm getting from lifting. But I don't really, I'm in and out. You know, you see those guys in there for an hour, hour and a half, you know, to each their own. I'm just like, I'm about, I guess about an hour total in the gym a week. If I'm doing 20 to 30 minutes and I'm working out maybe twice, maybe three times a week, hour to an hour and a half a week, I would say that I'm working out. Yeah. And then maybe I'll run one time a week at Runyon Canyon or somewhere beautiful out here in Malibu or something, just because like I got sweet music going. I'm already on fire from my nutrition, which is just like, it just grows as the day goes on with the sunlight and stuff like that. I mean, I just feel good. It's not really, I don't really have a set workout. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, it's just, you know, more like
about, you're a super high energy guy and you're burning some of it off at the gym, but it's not particularly structured. You're not, you know, doing the, you know, twice a week I do this and all. So you're just kind of going there and just putting energy in and you get it back. All right, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What about you?
You know what? I'm looking pretty solid right now. I don't know if you can see.
Look at the pipes.
But like,
nice.
For four months, I haven't touched a kettlebell. Nothing but electricity and my kids. So I'm doing like the all electrical thing right now, just to see what happens. And my testosterone levels, I just got my results in, and I've been supplementing less. I've been using testosterone since I was 30 because I used to be obese, and my levels are way below where they should be. So my levels are like around like 470, and at the upper end of the range is around 1100 for me. So they're low normal right now, and I'm actually putting on muscle without actually any effort at all. I just stick electrodes on, and it's a lot of electricity, and it's kind of weird, but I'm kind of blown away by how effective this thing is. I don't know if you can to have it around here. There's a I'm wired in. I'm not going to show it to you. Because I have to like
stimulation. Is that like the stuff that they put on me in like college when they were, you know, stimulating my hamstrings and stuff like that?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's all I'm doing right now. And I'm blown away, to be honest. I've always kind of just mixed it up, and I like the Body by Science, Doug McGuff sort of thing. I do the Bulletproof Vibe on a pretty regular basis, at least three times a week, and just stand there and get the lymphatic circulation, which helps a lot. But overall, I've been working my ass off lately, flying a lot. And so it's hard to have a routine. Like you travel for Oakley and whatnot. You're here, you're there. And it most hotel workout facilities, I'm like, I guess I could go do something, but nah.
Yeah. I know. It's like you walk by and you're like, nah, yeah, exactly what it is. Maybe you'll grab a magazine or something, take it up to the room. But that's
right. They get the free filtered water there that they don't give you in the room.
Exactly. That's actually what I do. I could use the tap for my coffee. I go down there and I'm filling up a little filtered water, dude. That's exactly what I'm doing.
We're cut from the same cloth that way. I'm like, I can't 100%. I can't put chlorine on my beans. It's horrible. Right?
Can't do it. Nope. Oh, that's awesome.
All right. Now, let's do the question I've asked everyone on the show. Top three recommendations for people who want to kick more ass. It doesn't have to be anything we talked about. Just out of your entire life, the three most important things you could tell someone else who wants to just to win. What are they?
Oh, man. Positive self-talk. It may sound weird, but visualization I've been doing since I was like 14 years old. I just had these insane goals, insane, but I mean, you know, you knock them down if you just keep that belief, you know. You could be, it's positive self-talk, you know. It doesn't have to be in the mirror. It just can be in a car driving home from work when I used to bartend. Just like, you know, just that positive reinforcement of like, look, dude, I believe in you, and, you know. And, or just saying the goals that where you see yourself, and so that's one. Number two is expressing gratitude. I've all,
dude, We have to hang out. All right.
Oh, I'm done. You're down in LA. Hit me up.
Yeah, I'll be down there in a couple of weeks, so we'll hang out for sure. Okay, I love that answer. All right, you're the first guy to say that besides me that I know of. So rock on. All right.
I mean, that's tied in with one though, because it's like at first you go look. You know, I would do this thing on the way home from bartending every Friday and Saturday nights. Like, you know, you're making your money or whatever, and like you're not out partying. You're staying focused on you. This is okay, man. It's okay that you're bartending. Like, and then you're expressing, look, you know, I'm alive, I'm healthy. This is after the accident when I started on that. And it's like, you know, just that, and just you express gratitude and how lucky I am with that, you know, obviously having, you know, your world rocked like that and having that type of perspective. It's like, how can you not be gratitude? Yeah, I was grounded before that, but like, I'm just so grateful to be where I am and to share whatever type of knowledge that I have with anybody else that's been in a similar situation. And it's just it's a nonstop emotion that it's overwhelming at times. I mean, I'm doing something that I kind of like imagined, but and I believed I could get there, but I, you know, because I'd see my buddies doing it and just kind of admired them for it. But now, like, it's like, you know, that those victories keep adding up, and like it's just a belief that you know, it's just along with the proper nutrition, you become unstoppable. But expressing gratitude is hands down. I do it numerous times, daily, hourly, whatever. It's just like I'm just really stoked to be alive, and I'm stoked to be here. And it's yeah. What was the
top three things that you'd recommend for people who just want to kick more ass, people who just, you know, want to succeed in life?
Okay.
So you've got two of them there.
Okay. So we got two of them.
Self-talk and gratitude. We need one more.
Positive self-talk, gratitude. Okay. This is it. I mean, I 100% believe that you are who you surround yourself with. You know, you hear it, not that it affects me at all, but, and not that it affected me when I moved down to LA, but you hear, so, you know, some stories about, well, how do you like LA? How do you like the people in LA? I'm like, I love it, man. I mean, this is my family. This is my home for me now. Like, I have such a close knit group of friends that the people I surround myself with are awesome, you know? And I just surround yourself with good, driven, just good, you know, people that'll be there for you regardless. People that answer your phone calls when you call them and they don't text you back. They call you back, you know, people that'll help you move and give you rides to the airport and just that are there for you. I'm super thankful that I have a close knit group of friends. And, you know, I go up north and I hang out with my blood family, and it's awesome. And then when I come back here, it's like, I don't, you know, I hit the ground running. I got a kick ass group of friends down here too, that I can count on. And that's the people, basically, yeah. So number three is like, surround yourself with driven, positive people that share a similar mind state as myself, and that just keeps you going. So
awesome, man!
That's my top three.
Andy, thanks for coming on the show today. Tell us your Twitter handle one more time.
It's Andy Nilo on Twitter, and Andy Nilo on Facebook. Alitur is the product name. I need to get this stuff going, and I will.
Don't sweat it. We'll get the link on the site. They'll come to this. We're now the number one ranked health podcast on iTunes. So we've had about 3 million downloads, and at least 50,000 people are going to be hearing this. And every week after that, some more will hear it. So don't worry about it. They will be able to find you, and we'll have a transcript of this as well. So as soon as you have your link and all, we'll update that. So no problem. And they can always Twitter you if they can't find you, because they've got your – it's at Andy H-N-I-L-O.
Yeah, at Andy H-N-I-L-O.
There we go.
Hey, Dave, I just wanted to say one thing. This wasn't planned. This is all – I don't have any notes around here. It's all off the top of my head. I just really want to thank you. It sounds – well, I know for a fact that you and I share the same just belief in just pristine nutrition. Thank you so much for providing me with that, because there's nothing else that I put in my body outside of, you know, the cayenne, the spices, and the aminos and stuff. It's just like it's a one-stop shop, and it's you. So thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thanks for acknowledging that. I'll keep doing my best, man. And I use all my own stuff for the same reason, like enlightened self-interest.
That's awesome.
All right. I'll see you in LA in a couple of weeks. We'll hook up.
Don, hit me up.
All right. Thanks, man.
You bet. Thank you.
If this podcast has helped you upgrade yourself and perform better, consider trying out a Bulletproof travel mug. I searched all over to find a mug that I would take with me on international flights, one that would not leak, one that would keep my coffee hot for long periods of time, and one I could use to shake up and actually mix my Bulletproof coffee to get my brain octane oil, my grass-fed butter, and my coffee brewed with upgraded coffee beans, sometimes brewed at the airport. You can find videos on YouTube of me brewing coffee at various airports or even in the air on airplanes. And I always use my Bulletproof travel mug for it. It's a gunmetal color, it's awesome, and it has the Bulletproof logo on it. So show your support and support this podcast by going to upgradeitself.com and picking up a Bulletproof travel mug. You won't regret it. This thing rocks.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.